Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild, wild with delight and joy.
Welcome to the Mark Unger Show. I am Mark Unger, where we discuss all things concerning
marriage,
because that is why we are here. I am joined this wonderful day by the delightful Mrs. Diane Brierly. Lady Brierly, how are you today?
I am good. How are you, Senor Gungor?
Good, good, good. Also joined is the delightful Ross Allen Skorzewski.
Good morning.
Internationally unknown producer of the Mark Unger Show.
Also, yes, that is I.
Also in the background is Timothy, the serial killer Ray.
Yes. Which Silent Ray.
He's so quiet, folks, he scares us. Hey, what happened to Dana Mueller?
She has
Dana
been
Mueller. Mueller.
Taken into custody.
No. I think she's had enough. Seriously, I think
Dana.
She's had enough.
She's being overwhelmed with all these emails concerning, this,
all the dating?
The dating.
Yes. No. Dating with Dana.
Meetings.
Who knows?
Meetings.
She doesn't really have to be here. She just shows up on occasion. She is a coordinator of the vast Gunger Media Empire, which takes her about 3 minutes a day to juggle. Because it is so vast. Hey, speaking of media empire, we had an email, was it yesterday, the day before, someone asking about our TV show.
Yes.
And we mentioned that it had been suspended until we figure out what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And since that show already, we are now in talks with for a syndication deal, TV syndication deal.
Woo.
Wow. This is good news.
Cool. Yeah. Their goal is to put us... ASAP, get us on 150 to 300 television stations.
Now, wow. These aren't television stations that would be in Uganda.
No, these are in the States.
Okay.
Yeah. Regular US TV.
Yeah. Actually, I'd take any of that. But anyway, we'll do the ones in the States. And they're going to try internationally as well. But
awesome.
Which is pretty cool. But this is different. We are now targeting secular television stations instead of Christian television stations. The problem with Christian television stations is very, very simple. Nobody watches them. And it's kind of hard to build an audience when nobody watches them. Oh, a few people, like 26 people.
Not that many.
And 37 grandmas or something, So anyway, and plus I'm always pulling punches.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't say what I want to say like you'd say on this show, because it's Christian television. They'll have a cow and kick you off the air.
Right.
You have to toe the line.
We only got, that was amazing. I only got kicked off of one Christian station, which I thought was pretty good.
Really?
And yeah. And that was because, I don't know, I made some critical comment about counselors or something.
Mm-hmm.
Undoubtedly the guy who
was a counselor.
Was that about their abysmal failure rate?
Yeah. And the guy, probably his wife was a counselor or something. Christians are such wusses,
Yeah.
I'm so offended, giant little thing. I'm so offended. A bunch of babies.
But it's true, counselors.
And how in the world? Here we follow Jesus, the Son of the Living God, crucified on the cross, a man of men. And what does he have to show for it? A bunch of wusses. Bunch of babies. Every time we get our feet, oh, he said wiener. Oh my gosh, he said wiener. I can't believe he said wiener. Oh, the Antichrist is here. Ah, I was like, good grief. And then we wonder why the world's dying and going to hell. Why we have a divorce rate? But yeah, that's already right there. Anyway, ticks me off. So we're also talking about possibly syndicating this show,
which would be very cool
Secular radio stations.
Yes.
Because, again, Christians are just a bunch of wussy babies. Not all of them. Obviously, we have thousands. In fact, I'm convinced the vast majority are not. the vast majority of Christians talk the way I talk. Mm-hmm. Who are
they
down
just don't
to
have
earth,
the platform.
They don't have the platform
right.
for it. Mm-hmm. And the ones who control the strings in Christian broadcasting are the wusses.
Right.
Sure.
Just like the pastors who control most churches, you know, are a bunch of babies, you know. And it's just, anyway, don't get me going because I'm a mean old.
Not my pastor, though.
You're
he's not a
mean
baby.
One.
Oh, no.
Mr. Grinch.
Neither is mine.
It's supposed to be Christmas. It's supposed to be Christmas. It's supposed to be in the Christmas spirit. Today is Wednesday. What is the date today?
Wednesday.
Is today.
It's Wednesday.
It's Tuesday would have been yesterday.
That's right.
What is the date today?
It's 15th.
The 15th. We're halfway through December.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness gracious. It's almost gone. Almost gone. I can't believe it. What are we going to do? It means it's time to jam. Yeah! We swing it, baby! Everybody grab a partner!
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Vixen and Blitzen and all his reindeer pulling on the rain.
Great.
That is awesome.
That is.
Who is this one?
Linda Eater. Eater? Yeah, I guess her name. I don't know.
Wow.
All I know is this one of the coolest Santa Claus songs.
Renditions?
The rendition, yeah. Listen to the band, they just swing it.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus.
Everybody get up and swing right now.
Santa Claus Lane.
And the person next to you in the cubicle.
He's got a bag that's filled with toys for the boys and girls again.
Grab the balls. Flip them up in the air.
Hear those sleigh bells jingle jangle. What a beautiful
turn around and grab your boss. That's quick road to unemployment.
That's right.
Anyway. Santa Claus. What do you guys do about Santa Claus? We have fun with Santa Claus.
Absolutely.
You know what? You know, Christians get real anal about stuff. What I don't believe in, this will make some people mad, is lying to your children.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Lying to them like a filthy scumbag and saying, oh, there really, really is a Santa. Oh, there really is. Oh, yeah. Do you mean, is it pretend? No, it's really real. And listen how they describe Santa. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Mm-hmm. He knows if you... Who does that sound like?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Jesus. The whole time you're lying to the kid.
Yep.
Then he finally finds out you're a filthy, rotten liar. Mm-hmm. And then he goes to church where you say, oh, yeah, don't worry. He sees you when you're sleeping.
Yep.
He knows when you're... At some point, you stick doubt in the kid's head. Have fun with it. We always had fun with my grandkids, my kids. We always had fun with Santa, and I dress up like Santa. And it's pretend. Kids have fun pretending. We never said, oh, there really is. You know, kids have a wonderful time playing. It's called make-believe. Mm-hmm. Children love to make. Then again, you've got anal Christians who are, we never mention Santa because it's just, if you move the T and the N, it really means Satan. You know,
it's like the church lady, Satan.
Satan.
You know, we don't have anything to do with Santa because it's really Satan. Oh, goodness gracious, get a life, people.
That's right.
Lighten up for heaven's sakes. You need a swirly, a Christmas swirly. It's refreshing. A refreshing swirly in the morning to do one well. Anyway, for heaven's sake, so we always had fun and still have fun with our kids. Now my grandkids was Santa Claus, and we just, oh, we're going to go see Santa. But it's just pretend. It's like my son and I, we used to play Star Wars. But I never told him, there really is a Darth Vader. Really, Jim? Jim. I don't know my own kid's name. My brother Jim's sitting over there. Really, Phil, my son, Phil. There really is. I said, oh, there really is a Darth Vader. Oh, yeah, you got to. Oh, good. Someone to take me out and beat the snot out of me.
That's right.
If you went around and told your kid you place it Star Wars,
and there really is,
but you tell, look at, there really, really is a Darth Vader. Most of you would have a fit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be unfit to be a father, but yet you do the very same thing with Santa. Lighten up, you people. Just have fun with them. Let their imaginations run. You can play. They got to go to sleep. Santa won't come. And they get it.
Right.
They have fun. It's part of the fun and the things. But don't lie to them, like you're gonna, you know, because goodness gracious, then you start describing Jesus. Almost the exact same way that you described Santa.
Yeah.
And now you're not lying.
Okay. Fear.
Well, so which lie do we believe, mom, dad?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's my grief for the day.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas to you.
Ho, ho, ho. Put a bunch of you in a lousy Christmas spirit.
Bah, humbug.
Bah, humbug, for heaven's sakes. Just don't be lying pieces of crap. How about we do that? What a concept.
No more lying pieces of crap.
How about no more lying pieces of crap? Just...
about it?
Why don't we just be real, have fun, enjoy the holiday, do all this. You know, don't be one of these crazy.
You know, Christmas is really a pagan holiday,
right?
Because it's actually the birth date of Nimrod, the king of Babylon, and
oh,
you know,
gracious.
Oh, good Lord, people.
I don't have time to research.
You know why
all that
star is really on top of the tree and just.
Oh, and Christmas trees are yeah. evil and the
wreaths are evil.
The what do you call those things you hang on?
Ornaments. The gold and silver.
Well, the ornaments actually signs of fertility. You know, like someone's gonads hanging from a tree.
Oh,
you know,
God.
Man, seriously, this is your problem. The world's dying and going to hell, and you're running around attacking Christmas trees. Could you be dumber?
That's right.
Goodness gracious. Some people wonder, well, yeah, I wonder how more people are Christians. I don't know, because they've seen you.
That's,
yeah. Lighten up, for heaven's sakes.
Oh, we just got done with Halloween, and now we're into the Christmas rant.
Yeah, just, at varying levels, people go psycho crazy over the dumbest things on earth. Have fun, enjoy with your children and everything. But how about we just don't be lying pieces of crap?
Crap-free zone, like, people.
We should have T-shirts. Don't be a lying piece of crap.
What would the visual be for that? What would you? What would you
I have no idea.
I don't want to know.
Leave it up to one of the listeners.
And
to
I
send
know
us
why we're
going to
be on secular.
That's right.
Stations anyway.
Indeed.
All right. What have you got for us this morning?
We have a story that may be very applicable to a lot of listeners. It is entitled from CNN: How to Present the Perfect Apology.
Ooh.
Although you, Mr. Gunger, probably have never ever
never had,
had
to apologize.
Bother. You've never been wrong.
I've
never done anything wrong.
It's like. You know, it's hard to understand. It's kind of like trying to understand what it's like to be black. I've never been black. I can never relate to an African American because I've never been black.
And you've never been wrong. So
I've never been wrong. It's kind of the same thing.
Well, for those of us who have been wrong on a daily basis, more than once during the course of a day.
Four or five times a day, you know.
Yeah.
Here you go. Have you ever heard the words, "I'm sorry," and instantly thought, "Oh, no, you're not"? You know the sound of an insincere apology from the moment your spouse or friend opened his or her mouth. When a simple "I'm sorry" isn't enough, it's time for a perfect 5-minute apology to kick in. It offers you the forgiveness you want in 5 minutes or less.
Seriously? 5 minutes?
It's a 3-step process. Ready?
A 3-step process to
step number
truly
one.
Apologize. See, I've always argued that women don't want to hear "I'm sorry." They want to hear "why."
Well,
you're sorry.
Follow along, children, shall we? And you'll find out. Step number one, make a mountain out of a molehill. While it's our natural instinct to minimize our mistakes by saying, "I didn't really mean it," or "it's not such a big deal," doing so will only aggravate your partner. Yes. Instead, if you go big and maximize your air with a comment like, "I made a huge error," or "it was really awful of me to do that," then your mate will be relieved knowing that you get how wrong you were. And that will go a long way toward reducing the
anger.
Did
we just talk about trying not to be lying pieces of crap?
No, I get it. Yeah. I think it's good advice, actually.
Sure. Oh, there's just nothing more aggravating than, "Well, I didn't mean to."
That's no big deal. Yeah.
"What are you so mad about? It's not that big of a deal. I didn't mean to. That's not what I intended."
Making a bigger deal out of it in my home, she doesn't care if I, you know, say, "I made a huge error."
Ooh, that'd go a long way with me.
But not my wife. She just wants to see me get it right. She always said, "You're the great apologizer. You just don't change." And that's...
Oh, that's true. That's true.
That's
you can
what
have
hurts.
This down to a science, but if you do not change it, then boy.
I know
boy.
You're sorry.
You're the great apologizer.
I know you are, but you just don't
my
change.
My daughter, Miss Compassion.
Yeah.
Miss Compassion, 1998.
But that "I didn't mean to," that doesn't take it away. I'm like,
right.
If you
see,
back
the
up...
The problem is, of course, you know, you whine about whatever you get.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter whines because he apologizes.
Right. If you don't
you whine
because
your husband doesn't apologize. I mean, everybody's just, it doesn't matter what side of the thing. And people
exactly.
just like to whine and bellyache.
Yes.
The problem with people who like to say, "Well, it's no big deal," they don't want to apologize.
They don't.
Despite the goofing around, I apologize quite often because I'm always screwing up one way or the other. You just got to learn how to apologize well.
That's right.
You do.
Yeah.
Well, if you're married to somebody who needs to hear it, then you need to learn to do it.
Well, just like people, it's like it's the end of the world. For them to say they're sorry about something. I don't know what. Somebody dropped them on their heads when they were little or something. What's the deal? Just
say
you're sorry.
I mean, you know, you really are that perfect? You know, that you never have to say you're sorry? You don't ever screw up? Who doesn't always screw up?
Mm.
I don't know. Maybe it's a big deal. I screw up.
Have you yet today?
Every hour on the hour. Good grief. I've never understood. You know, we'll do at my seminars, I have couples at the end just stand up and say they're sorry to each other. And I'll have people tell me later, you know, like in 25 years, that's the first time I've ever heard my spouse say the words, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine that?
No.
I mean, that's insane.
Right.
I'm sorry in the heat of it doesn't really cut it either. It has to be real, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can tell they're so sorry. They're just...
Right.
And then, I said before I was sorry. Well, no, you spat it at me. That's not really... I'm sorry. Anyway, step two, use the because clause.
Because clause. Is that like Santa Claus?
No, it's a little
bit Santa
different.
And because clause.
Different.
It's the brother.
It's Santa's brother.
It's Santa's brother.
When someone is mad at you for your wrongdoing, it's because they feel disrespected, insulted, offended, or ignored. What seems like a small thing, such as being 20 minutes late, is more than that to the person waiting for you. It's disrespectful of their time, rude to leave them standing there, and it sends the message that you have other priorities. So dig deep and say you're sorry for the whole enchilada. Use the word because to share exactly how you hurt your mate, as in, I'm sorry I was 20 minutes late because I was rude and disrespectful to keep you waiting.
Well, see, that's what I said before.
Right.
They don't want to just know why you're sorry, that you're sorry. They want to know why you're sorry. So you get it.
It's like, what you're sorry
for? I'm sorry. It doesn't do anything. Because it is sarcastic half the time. No, look, I'm sorry because what I did was disrespectful. And that's a whole different ballgame.
So what do you do when you get that information, though? I mean, the sorry should be good enough to let you off the hook. But a lot of times it's not. Even if you give them the reason why.
Well.
Yeah. Well, in your case, if you never do change.
Because Ross.
Trust me. I got sick and tired of hearing that. It might have taken a few years. But yeah, I mean, when you hear that, I know you just don't change. That's a great motivation for change. But sometimes people, they just hang their hat on that and it's not good enough.
Like they said it? Because step three is prevent and repair. There's three steps to it. You have to be complete in this.
Prevent and repair.
It says, this is the crucial part of a perfect apology. Without this step, you won't win forgiveness. Complete your five-minute apology conversation by explaining to your mate how you will fix the damage done or offer a plan of action to prevent the mistake from recurring. For instance, if you were late to the restaurant...
The only way I could do that is I'll never do this again because I'll never get out of bed.
If you're late, you can't fix the damage, but you can assure your mate that in the future you will allow some wiggle room between leaving the office and meeting up, and you will call your mate earlier in the day to confirm everything. But what if you're not the guilty... Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's right. But what if you're not the guilty party and instead your mate is? Since your mate doesn't know the three steps to a perfect apology, you can coach him or her into telling you what you need to hear. Tell your mate that a two-word, I'm sorry, doesn't work for you and that you need to know exactly what he or she is sorry for. After your mate lists some reasons, ask how he or she can prevent the mistake from happening again. You will probably need to offer some suggestions here.
I don't see this working in my home.
Once your mate agrees to a practical prevention plan, you can let go of the mistake and move on to enjoy your time together.
The practical prevention plan.
And then you actually have to do it, Ross.
For the practical
you actually have to do it.
No, I'm good on the prevention and repair. I just don't think if I decided to say, honey, you know what? I just want to let you know your sorry isn't good enough here, you know, and then you need to tell me why you're sorry. That's not going to work.
Really?
What you want from her, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, man. She's
you know, this
so
part here where you might need to coach. You might need to coach your mate on how to
just
do this,
glad
right?
That she doesn't kill you. That's all you got to be happy about.
That's right.
And move on. By the way, I would suggest that when it says, you know, tell your spouse that a two-word, I'm sorry, doesn't work, you don't do this in the heat of battle.
No, no.
That's right. That's
you
good.
Do this when everybody's happy and no one's upset about anything. And then when it's as disconnected from any event as can conceivably be, that's when you say, hey, can I talk to you about something? Oh, what do I do now? Oh, nothing. It's just that, you know, when we, you know, do something or you hurt me or and you say you're sorry, you know, let's, you know, and then talk
that's
about it.
That's preventative is doing it before, huh?
Well, I mean, I get it. You can't in the middle of the argument feel like saying you're sorry and you can't settle it. But what about after the fact? Things calm down, a day goes by, then you come back and say you're sorry. See, I think that that's where... I have enough slack and I can cut that. I know you can't deal with it right now because we're screaming at each other, but tomorrow can you tell me you're sorry?
No, I think you can deal with the apology when you're still mad. What I'm saying is when you're tweaking.
No, I'm saying with the apology because there's a lot of people that I can't apologize when I'm so mad, but then they'd never do.
Well, then when everything calms down, you discuss that.
Yeah.
Discuss what drives you crazy when it doesn't matter.
When you're not crazy.
We always want to discuss things when we're crazy.
Which makes it never comes out right then.
Even more crazy.
That's right.
Well, I'm very guilty of that.
I must apologize because I'm tired of listening to both of you, and we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right here on the Mark Gunger Show.
Finally, marriage advice that's direct, honest, and to the point. This is the Mark Gunger Show on MarkGunger.com. Mark Gunger's sold-out women's conference is now available on DVD.
Here's the question of the evening. Why would a man like myself be concerned about helping women become strong, confident women? Because I'm concerned about marriages, families, churches. Ultimately, I'm concerned about men. You're here tonight because I'm concerned about men. Why would I be concerned about men? Because I do not believe that we will be able to unlock the spiritual potential in men as long as we have women who enable those men to act very badly.
Order your Butt-Kicking Women's Conference DVD with over 6 hours of life-changing speakers. Available at laughyourway.com. She's a pastor's wife and a jail chaplain. The Debbie Chavez Show.
My delight now to re-welcome to our program the author of that best-selling book, The Five Love Languages, Gary Chapman.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
The Debbie Chavez Show.
Best-selling author, Stormy O'Mardian.
Hi, Debbie.
The Debbie Chavez Show.
And so what I've learned from so many of my guests and what I've learned from my life experience of trial and error is that we have an enemy of our souls, that would be the devil, who loves to lie to us, and we buy the lies. He's the one that whispers in your ear, you know, all guys watch pornography. It's normal. It'll be okay. It's not hurting anybody. Or maybe the enemy whispers into your ear, you really need to eat that chocolate cake. You really need to have that order of French fries. Just drive through the drive-thru at McDonald's. It'll make you so happy. You've had a rough day. It's a big, fat, stinking lie. Let's be smart here and examine the thoughts that we entertain in our minds. Is that thought really from God, or is it from the enemy? And if it's from the enemy, kick it out.
The Debbie Chavez Show, streaming daily at faithplace.org.
Frosted window panes, candles gleaming inside, painted candy canes on the tree. Santa's on his way, he's filled his sleigh with things.
Christmas waltz.
Things for you and for me, it's that
Frank Sinatra. This is Frank. Frank.
When the world.
Me and Frank.
He's doing it his way.
His way.
Every song you hear.
Frank and I went to different schools.
Seems to say. Merry
way before my time. Anyway, welcome back to the Mark Gunger Show, where we just finished talking about apologies and Satan. Oh, I'm sorry, Santa. And there's one apology that I hate to hear.
What's that?
I'm sorry I know you. I'm sorry I married you.
I'm sorry
you're my father-in-law.
Sorry you even exist.
I'm sorry. Those are the apologies. You just hate hearing those apologies. It's very depressing. Anyway, hey, yesterday, was it yesterday? Day before? I don't know. I never pay attention at all. Big blur. We got an email from a guy who, his name was Wesley, like from the Princess Bride.
There's a shortage of perfect breasts in this world.
And he wanted us to
profess
to his darling wife, Jeanette, that he loved her. He loved her. And not just a regular love, but
true love.
The kind that lasts for eternity and eternity. The kind that, if it were missing, she'd say,
I will never love again.
So we threw out the greetings and love from Wesley to Jeanette, and all you girls out there went, oh,
I wish my husband would do that.
I wish my husband did that. Oh,
why can't my husband be more like Wesley?
But then we got an email from Jeanette. Wait till you hear this.
Well, she did say one thing that was in agreement with Wesley. She said, my husband and I love your DVD, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage.
Yes.
She did say that.
That's good.
But then she says, recently, we have been having a very difficult time with our marriage due to porn. As you already know, I feel horrible when I know that my husband is watching porn and masturbating to other women.
Really, I can't imagine why.
Wow. It's a big...
Oh, for heaven's sakes. I love you, you said, Wesley, you Nimrod. And you're sitting there yanking on yourself while fantasizing about other women. What part of love is that? Are you dead in the head, for heaven's sakes?
Well, it just so happens that your friend here is only mostly dead. There's a big difference between mostly dead and all dead.
I think this guy's all dead.
Yeah, yes. He's all dead,
dead in the head.
Wow.
Yanking on his wanger.
Yes.
Looking at porn. Your wife knows you're looking at porn. Thinking about, and then you have the balls to call this show and say, tell her
tell
I love
world.
Her. Tell the
world.
Tell her I love her. Oh. It's all about
true. Wow.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Oh. Wesley, dude, you get today's swirly and a goat. In fact, two goats.
Do you want to hear more or do you just want to tear on Wesley?
He's been double goated.
Double goated and swirly. And swirlied.
Seriously? You're looking at porn, yanking on yourself, looking at other women, and then you say to your wife, I really love you. I really love you. You've deceived yourself.
The cliffs of insanity!
Lord. Leaves me kind of speechless, to be honest with you.
All right, go on. There's more.
She says it's
there's more.
Surprisingly, it's a big turnoff. Really, I can't imagine. Before we got married.
Oh, wait a minute. She says it's a turnoff.
It's a turnoff to her. Yeah.
Okay, now keep that in mind as we continue.
She says it's
because I'm not sure
turn-off.
Her version of turnoff and my turnoff
are the same.
Exactly.
Because if this to her is turnoff.
What's turned on?
Holy moly.
Seriously. Okay, before we got married, he used to do it all the time. Then he promised
to masturbate. Okay. So what'd you marry the idiot
and
for?
Watch porn. Then he,
you girls,
because
listen
he promised
to me. Wait,
to
wait,
stop.
Wait, 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 wait. You don't listen to the promise to stop. You wait until you see that, in fact, they have stopped.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You girls, all the women. This
don't
is a gigantic swirly for all the women in the world who date bums. You know they're bums. You're aware they're bums. And you marry them anyway.
Why do they think that when he promises he's going to change, why do they think that that's good enough? I don't understand that.
Because she keeps
that.
Doing what you're about to potentially...
They don't realize that you get what you put in. Mm-hmm. What they think is that...
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
That's not true. Life is not like a box of chocolates. In fact, that's what people think. They think it's all random. That life is, in fact, a box of chocolates.
Sure.
Just grab
you're
one.
Right.
You don't know. You don't know what you're going to get.
You're right. People do think that.
See, that's a contradictory message in Forrest Gump. Because on the one hand, they were saying life is random. Yet on the other hand, they were very clear to say...
Stupid is what stupid does, sir.
That's right.
So, I mean, it's like... You
conflicting
know,
messages.
Stupid is what stupid does is correct.
Yes.
You do stupid stuff, you get stupid results.
Stupid
okay?
in, stupid out.
You marry guys who masturbate, you can't be shocked later. Oh, my gosh, he's masturbating. Goodness gracious. Yet on the other hand, life is not a bunch of chocolates. It's not random. You get what you put into it. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and listen to the rest of Jeanette's email. It has some more shocking information. Right after this on the Mark Gunger Show.
Make faithplace.org your first stop on the web every morning because we have the stuff to help your day take off just right. You'll find a daily scripture, a video pick of the day, and the top 5 faith and lifestyle news stories that you won't find on most conventional news media. And of course, our stream of talk shows, where your questions and dilemmas are answered with Bible-based advice. Plus, we offer you free sets of Christian music every weekday. And did we mention we post a new heart-healthy recipe each day, too? It's all free for you at www.faithplace.org.
If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Men are more interested in sex than their wives. Why would you say that? Because generally it's true. But it's not always true. There are a lot of relationships where the wife is much more interested in sex than her husband. If you're here tonight and your wife is much more interested in sex than you are, I think I speak for all the men here when I say that we hate you.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
The red-nosed reindeer had a very
back here on the Reindeer Game Show, the Mark Gunger Show. We're reading an email from Wesley. These guys, you know, God bless them. God bless you both. We love you both. Mm-hmm. You got issues. We're trying to help you. We will yell at you, but we are trying to help you. Wesley says he loves his wife dearly. He wrote into the show to say that he loves her. Of course, he's looking at porn and yanking on himself, looking at other women, which doesn't exactly communicate love. On the other hand, we hear from Jeanette that she married the yanking guy in the first place, knowing that he yanks away. Yanking away, my friend. Yanking away, da, da, da. Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Oh, good. Heaven.
What's your favorite baseball? The Yankees. Do you remember that?
No.
Chris Farley?
No.
Yes, it was in a movie.
No.
Yes.
No, I've never heard
that.
That
was one of the lines.
Oh, my God.
Where David Spade.
No, I never heard that one.
Oh, man. That's just sad. Anyway, well, so she knew going in, yes. This boy has issues with this stuff.
But he promised to stop, and she said he did for a while. And then after they were married, everything was nice and great.
I wonder what the while was.
Then, I don't know. It doesn't
matter. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay.
About 2 weeks ago, I found out he was looking at porn through his cell phone, and he finally admitted to masturbating to this. What really hurts me the
most... Hopefully not while he was driving.
Yeah. No.
Cell phone.
Driving.
You're looking at
masturbating,
porn on your cell phone? Can you look at porn on your
cell phone?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
If it's connected to the internet...
How do you see anything? They're so tiny.
Well, maybe he has a big screen, a big phone. I don't know.
Apparently, it doesn't matter.
Really?
If it's on a 60-inch.
You know, stupid little screen. It's like, what?
A 60-inch or a 2-inch,
yeah,
you know?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't Goodness. Matter. She said, what really hurts me the most is that we actually have sex every single day at least 2 times. Once in the morning and once at night. He cares a lot to please me sexually, and I know he reaches orgasm at least 2x a day with
me. Wait a minute.
TMI!
She says that this turns her off.
Right.
Right. But she's still having sex with him twice a day.
Would you come talk to my wife? I think we should have this lady come and speak at our women's conference.
Well, if that's turned
to
off...
To encourage sexual activity in the home. Wow. 2x a day. That's impressive.
She wants to know why, if this is what's happening, why would he even feel the need to masturbate to other women? I don't understand.
Because here's the problem with lust-based approach to sex, which I talk about all the time and talk about in my book and my DVDs. Lust-based sex, although at some level it seems to make sense, mm-hmm. kind of like, what did we say the other day, you know, like snorting a little mm-hmm. cocaine will kind of pick you up. It doesn't end. You constantly have to up it. It gets more and more and more. It's never satisfied. Here's a guy who's getting sex 2x a day. Most guys want to just beat the crap out of him for that. You know. But then on top of that, that's not enough.
Right.
That's not enough. So here's a guy who's never learned to control his urges. Wesley, dude, listen to me. Control yourself, you moron. What are you doing? You're getting sex 2x a day, and on top of that, you need to fantasize about other women and masturbate? Dude, this will kill you. At some point, it never stops. Pretty soon, you get to the point where your wife's not enough. These are the sicko guys that, you know, start talking their wives into doing weirder mm-hmm. things mm-hmm. and wanting to do threesomes and whatever else because they got to keep ratcheting it up because it's not enough. They don't know how to be stimulated in just a normal way. And it never ends, and it's very, very destructive. So, dude, stop. What are you doing? Now listen to me. Jeanette, stop having sex with this guy mm-hmm. if you know he's looking at porn. All right? The minute you find out he's looking at porn, you put him on a 1-week sexless experience. Make him pay.
Stop having sex with him.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I know some of you guys have a cow. Oh, the Bible says don't deny each other. Yeah, under normal circumstances, you don't deny each other.
This
just like under normal circumstances, you forgive people when they sin against you, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's normal.
It is.
But then Jesus said if they sin 1, 2, 3 times and they're not going to repent and stuff, you kick them out of the church.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So apparently, there is a line that crosses where the normal doesn't kick in anymore. All right? This idea that a woman has to have sex with her husband no matter how she's treated is absurd, and it is not consistent with New Testament biblical teaching.
But if she stops having sex with him, isn't he probably just going to continue with the masturbation?
Well, I don't know. Do you like having sex? You like yanking on yourself.
Well,
good grief. There'd be
That's up to him, I guess.
Okay, you find out your husband's looking at porn. Oh. And you're going to go in a roll in the hay twice a day with him?
No.
Why?
No.
Because you're a normal woman. Yeah. There's something wrong with these both of these guys. Yeah. They're dysfunctional at some level.
Yeah.
Listen, you have value. God loves you. It's not over. You can still have a great life. The fact that you're even writing and listening to the show, it says a lot about you. But at some point, you have to stop the stupid. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, Wesley, dude, you love your wife. You don't look at other women and yank on yourself. That's Jeanette. Right. You got to stand up and be a strong woman. You find out your husband yanking on himself. He sleeps on the couch. Mm-hmm. Not forever, but to make a point. You just have to decide, dude, do you want a real woman or do you want to live in fantasy land? You decide. At some point, even a dog can be trained. Not to call Wesley a dog. I'm just using the analogy. Right. You can take a wild animal and train a wild. Right. Why is a woman don't understand that you can actually train a guy to become the way you want him to be? Everybody is... does what they do based on reward or benefit or loss.
Well, obviously he's not being satisfied either if he's masturbating plus having sex twice a day. But like you say, there's a difference between ejaculating and having an orgasm. So if he stops just the ejaculation and concentrates on having real sex with her, he probably will feel more satisfied, correct?
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, this guy, he might actually be a sex addict.
Right.
Yeah.
If it's this bad, Wesley, if you get sex twice a day and you cannot stop masturbating, you need to go, I'm not kidding, you need to go check yourself into a sexual
rehabilitation
center. Write that out.
How do you spell that?
Sexual rehabilitation center. Seriously, dude, you got to, either you're just being a slob, and you're just constantly, you have not learned to control yourself in any way, shape, or form. And you always give in to your urges. And you've bought into the lie that this is good for you. It's not good for you. Okay? This will destroy your sex life eventually.
Hopefully they'll hear this.
Or.
But they listen all the time.
But they listen all the time. Or you are a sex addict, dude. And you know, so, I mean, that's the first thing I thought of, actually.
That he was a sex addict.
A sex addict. You know, if you. Gosh, who gets laid twice a day and then has to masturbate?
Right.
Well, at the end of the email, she does say that she's 32 and he's 22. So
I don't care if he's 16. Sure, he's at the top of his physical peak, but still nobody needs sex twice a day and masturbate on top of it.
Right. That seems like excessive.
Wesley, if you're this messed up now at 22, what do you think your life's going to be when you're 35?
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen? That's what I'm saying. See, he's not aware. He's too young yet to realize the negative effects on this. What happens is guys like you, at some point, they get so addicted to the masturbating, they don't want to have sex with a real woman, which is insane. Or they keep having to ratchet up the lust factor to get turned on. And that's why it's not enough to just have sex with your wife. You got to have sex with your wife and somebody else, or have sex with your wife in the backyard or in front of the window so neighbors can see you, or she's got to wear this or try this and grab this and stick this up, this, that, there, and the other. And I mean, they never stop. It never stops. Dude, you're young. Right. You got a life. You got your future in front. Don't go down this path. If you're listening to the show, at least you get a bit of a clue that relationships are important. You're young yet, but you're on the verge of destroying your sex life for the rest of your life. Stop it. Stop it.
He needs to get some help.
No more porn. So, if you really love her, you stop it. Jeanette, you find out he's doing this or anything else that's over the line, you don't keep giving him everything he wants. You become an enabler. Anyway, hopefully some of this helps you somewhere along the line. But if you literally cannot stop, dude, you need to go check yourself in and get help.
Okay, next email says... My husband's parents are, well, stoners. They still smoke pot at 60 plus.
Is that written by Ross Gorzewski?
No, it would have been my in-laws.
Over 60. You're not over 60. They're stoners and they smoke pot. They're over 60 years old and have no shame in it.
These are in-laws?
Yes,
in-laws. In-law music.
My husband's parents, yep. You walk into their house and it smells like pot, and they have bongs on the table.
They got guns.
Bongs on the table.
They're wanting to share. They're wanting to share. They got bongs on the table.
Don't look if you're gonna do bongs. The weed, man.
Don't Bogart. You gotta share with everyone.
Oh my gosh. She says, my husband and I, being Christians, are thinking about having children soon, but I do not want my children in that environment. His parents are not Christians and don't see the big deal. So how do we address his parents in regards to the grandkids and the visitation we are going to allow them if they do not change their behavior without causing this huge drama and not hurting my husband's relationship with his parents.
First of all, you get up on your tippy toes and you dance around like this. La 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 la. And then you say to them, if you're gonna do this, you will never, ever, 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 ever see your little grandchildren. Don't be stupid. We're not gonna let you be smoking dope with the grandkids around the house, for heaven's sakes!
And put your bongs away.
Put your bongs away.
Put them in the closet.
60-year-old huffing on a bong.
Oh my God.
That's just.
Look, it's a reasonable request. You're not. Yes. And I say to them, look, I'm not telling you what to do. You guys do it. You want to bong your brains out all day long? Bong your brains out. If I was against you, I'd call the cops. Okay? I'd call the cops. You want me to call the cops? You want to see what it's like if we're against you? Mm-hmm. Watch what happens.
Call the.
Because I've already dialed 911. It just needs me to hit one more.
Yep.
Okay? You want to see what a picture of me really against you is?
Some people would do that.
Right.
I probably would. But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know, no, I wouldn't. You know, but if they're bonging their brains out, look, you bong your brains out, it's your own business. You think we're against you. If that were the case, I'd call the cops.
Right.
I'd bust your butt and throw you all in jail. So I'm not doing that. But you need to know something. When we have children mm-hmm. and you want to see your grandchildren, we will not bring them over here if you're blowing dope. It's just that simple.
It seems very reasonable.
You make the choice. Okay? It's just very, very simple. Mm-hmm. And this better be the world's best kept secret in the universe to our grandchildren.
Oh,
they are
right.
to
yeah,
never
know
in any way, shape, or the day. Listen to me, mom, dad, and by the way, for them to get sobered up if that's possible. Mm-hmm. You know, hello, hello, hello. Look at me. The day they find out that you guys do dope, mm-hmm.
the call's made.
Will be the last day you'll ever see your grandchildren. Mm-hmm. You yep. cool with that? So just be very, very mm-hmm. real with them. And again, they might accuse you of being against us. And no, if I'm against you, I'd call the cops right now and throw your butts in jail.
Right.
Okay? I'm not doing that. You want to smoke? You smoke your brains. I do it. But you do it in secret. Yeah, and people are really great at keeping secrets like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've known people for years and years and years and years and years and years who smoked cigarettes, and no one ever knew. You know,
wow.
What a hassle. You know, well, and we were close friends. We had no idea.
Well, and usually you bring that smell, especially cigarettes.
I'm telling you, some people work so
know.
Hard
wow.
because, you know, it was part of a church. I was kind of yeah. a holiness church, and they wanted to be part of the church, but they, you know, were afraid that, mm-hmm. which is stupid. The Bible doesn't say you can't smoke cigarettes, for mm-hmm. heaven's sakes. You want to kill yourself? Kill yourself. But, you're not supposed to kill yourself, but but it doesn't say anything about smoking cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a guaranteed you're going to kill yourself.
Right.
You know, good
it's
grief.
It's just not good for you.
Let's try and do what the Bible says. As if it isn't hard enough, we got to make up stuff that's not in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Call it part of the Beyond the Bible Club. Let's help out God. Let's make up stuff that's not there. And what does that accomplish? I mean, it's craziness. All right? So anyway, you know, you're not calling the cops on them. But you just let them know in no uncertain terms. You will not have access to these grandchildren if you're smoking pot. And if they ever find out, you listen to me until the day they're 18. Mm-hmm. The day they find out and you tell them, you know, really, your grandma and I smoked mm-hmm. dope. There's nothing wrong with it. It'll be the last time you'll ever see your grandchildren. Just so you know. And let them know more than once. Mm-hmm. You don't have any chance.
Well, because you almost bet that that's what they do. If they're that open and it's that normal and it's on the table and they do it, that they be that way with the grandkids. Oh, it's no big deal. Grammy and Grandpa do it.
Here's the thing about people who do things inappropriately. They desperately want everybody else to approve of it.
Mm-hmm.
They desperately.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the whole gay thing. You know what? Mm-hmm. You want to be gay? Be gay. Why do you care
right.
if the mm-hmm. world knows? Why do you care?
Let's have a parade.
Why do you got to have a parade? Why do you got to have, you know, this law and that law? And, you know, I mean, I understand at some point you feel discriminated against, but what's the, you know, do your thing.
Right.
Nobody's bothering mm-hmm. you. Nobody's stopping you from doing your thing. But because they desperately want the approval of the culture mm-hmm. in which
yep,
they live.
Overcome their
Everybody
shame.
Has got this deal mm-hmm. going. So, yeah, I'm sure. But, and seriously, that's what I would do. You're asking me, that's what I would do. Listen, my parents at times did things that were inappropriate mm-hmm. toward the grandchildren, and we would take them over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd whine and complain, and we'd just drive it home
again.
There's
a reason.
And then they'd say, okay, and then we'd bring them, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was cool. As long as they followed by their rules, everything was cool. You can be disrespectful about it, which would be wrong, or you can be respectful about it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's why I wouldn't call up the cops and turn in your parents unless you felt that that's what they needed.
Right. Another gungerism has been brought forth. Bong your brains out. Right next to boinking your brains out, then right below goes bong your brains out.
Another turn of phrase created this
morning.
Oh,
my.
You gotta love it. Love them phrases.
Your boy's different.
How are we doing? Time? Do we need to take a break?
Oh, we do need to take a break. I forgot what we were doing. We're doing a radio show.
Take a break and then
there are limits of time on this show.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back with more emails. Is that right? You got it? Okay, more on the Mark Gunger Show.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to radio@markgunger.com and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
This Christmas season, when it comes to looking for that special gift for that special someone in your life, think outside the box and go to laughyourway.com, where all of Mark Gunger's DVDs are buy one, get one half off. This Christmas, buy the gift that will keep on giving. This offer is available only at laughyourway.com.
Do you want to discover the heart of your child and who God created them to be? Laugh Your Way America is excited to introduce the Kids Flag Page. This fun and interactive game will help you discover the unique way God wired your child. Find the key things that motivate them and learn what they love most about life. This colorful and engaging activity set will help your child see who they are at their very best and will teach you how to bring out the best in your child. Each Kids Flag Page game comes with everything you need to complete three Kids Flag Pages. Designed for children ages 4 to 11, the Kids Flag Page is a fun way for moms and dads to interact with their kids and truly discover the heart of each child. To order your game, go to www.laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not bow, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town, Santa Claus is coming to town, Santa Claus is coming to town.
Who's this?
It's Roots for all you Jersey girls,
for all you Jersey boys.
He's going. This is the boss man.
Just nothing.
You're not a Bruce Springsteen fan.
Not at all.
No, he's not a rock and roll fan.
See, I was when I was in high school, first out of high school. He was the man to me.
Listen, listen, turn that up. What's that crap?
No. Well, so was Dylan.
Dylan didn't even try to sing.
He knows that you're away.
He knows that you're away. Did Dylan ever do a Christmas album? That would be funny. Oh,
he'll be good for goodness sake.
He might have bonged his brains out before he sang. He had to
serve somebody.
I'm sorry, this guy can't sing.
Well, it's just very high energy, though, when you sing. Yeah. He's great. I mean, great not saying that he's singing well. He's Bruce. He's
all right, now that we've ticked off all the Springsteen fans out there. Continuing with your email dilemmas, if you have a relational question that you'd like to pose to us, you can email them to radio@markgunger.com.
Okay, I think I know what you're going to do with this email, but we'll see what happens if I'm right. The email says, we are mid-60s and married 5 years. My husband has been diagnosed with adult ADHD. I've tried all of the...
What? At mid-60s?
Mid-60s. Attention deficit. Hyperactivity disorder.
Maybe you're just boring and he doesn't want to pay attention. I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm sure she's a lovely lady.
She says she's tried all of the tricks that she knows to deal with this, but she's having a hard time finding anything to laugh about to get through it. They have many strengths as a couple other than this subject, including a Christ-centered marriage. But their finances are a mess. The business that they seem the business they generate seems to be on her plate to make all of the money and to make all of the operations day to day. They must have their own business happen. Okay. The house is in a constant state of destruction as planned changes in maintenance go unfinished. I cannot get someone else to do the work because of the financial issues. He cannot do some of the work because of his back issues, and it's not responding to physical therapy, and he's not ready to admit that the changes from his age. She says that she's overwhelmed, and she's lost perspective on how to prioritize and sort things out. She is seeing a Christian counselor, but the husband has not yet been pulled into the counseling. She goes on to say that he makes the effort to get his act together, which always seems to get, he always just seems to get organized, but never gets the calendar in order and never seems to progress past trying to get organized. He does have a couple of small part-time jobs that
Lord, how long's
her
list?
Yeah, she's got a pretty
making
long list.
Making a list, checking it twice. Good grief,
she
woman.
Says, I'm very well aware that every point I've listed is very negative. Things are bad, but not as bad as they could be. And that she's aware that God is humbling her for something, and she needs to seek the support from any directions while the metamorphosis continues. But she wants help with her ADHD.
Start from the beginning, because that's a long list. Good grief.
Their finances are a mess. He's not able to help very much with their business.
Okay.
Apparently, they have their own business.
Okay. She says most of it lands on her lap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe you're just better at it than he is, okay?
Maybe.
So you run the business better than him.
Mm-hmm.
So get comfortable with that. Seriously.
If she's better at it.
If you're better at it, if he sucks at it, you do it. Mm-hmm. So what? I mean, people get mad because their other spouse doesn't do everything I want them to do.
Mm-hmm. I'm horrible with the finances, so that's why my wife
For years and years and years had her finances. I just now started doing it because, you know, where it's on the computer and stuff. But I got to honest with you. At times I'm thinking, you know, I probably need to give this back to her. Because I'm not very good at it.
Some people are just better at it.
I'll bet you we had more money right now if she did it. Mm-hmm. Because I'm just...
You're just not as good at it.
I'm not very good at it. So he's better at it. So let's just settle the fact. He's terrible at running the business.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get comfortable with that? Miss 60-year-old, I've been married for 5 years. Just get comfortable with it. You know, the Bible says, be content.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was reading John the Baptist on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that John the Baptist, he was telling people to repent. The soldiers would come to him and say, what should we do? One of the things he said is, be content with your pay.
Mm-hmm.
Man, who wants to hear that message?
Right.
You know, be content, for heaven's sakes. You know, and I know I underpay all you guys too much, but I'm working on it. I'm not quoting it at you. They're both looking at me like, oh crap.
I
am ADHD and I forgot what you were talking about.
Squirrel!
You only learn to be content when you have issues to not be content with. You're just forcing us to learn, that's all.
Okay, so he's not good at it, you're good at it.
Right.
You're better at it than he is. Maybe you're not good at it, but you're better than he is. Okay, get comfortable with that. Look, because here's the thing. I bet she's going in for counseling, not because she doesn't want to get comfortable. She wants it to change.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's what people want.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor, can you change this, Pastor Mark?
Because she did say she's seeing a counselor, he's not.
I know I appear very godlike at times, being the Greek god figure that I carry everywhere.
There's this aura, this light that radiates from you.
Yes.
But let's assume Mark can't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
How about you can't change anything except you?
Mm-hmm.
That's what people don't want to hear. You can change you. Get content.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the key to that, before he says that, is I've learned to be content in all situations. That's how he could do all things through Christ. Because I learned the secret, he says. He calls it the secret. The secret is not that he could do all things through Christ who strengthened him. The secret was he learned to be content.
Mid-60s?
Mid-60s.
So possible second, third marriage.
Must be,
maybe.
Because they've only been married for 5 years.
You know,
so.
Widows or who knows, whatever.
Is there a comparison factor with maybe the man that she was with
maybe,
before? You know,
maybe.
What's all coming into the equation?
Possibly, but it doesn't matter.
Right, I understand.
No.
The end of the day, he's lousy at running the business. She does it better. Okay, get comfortable with that.
And the
get
same with the house stuff?
Or go crazy. Or go crazy.
Or let him do it and then be unhappy with how they're...
You know, you've got your choice. I mean, these people, it's like they won't want... I need counseling. Instead of spending all this money in counseling, how about you just relax a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Get comfortable. You know, honey, you suck at this. I'm much better at it. I'll just do it. Let me run it. You know. Okay, so number one. That's the business. Number two.
The second was that their house is in a constant state of destruction.
Okay, if your house is in a constant state of destruction, you might need to get a different house. Okay, and if you are unable to pay for the repairs and maintain and keep up with the maintenance of the house,
get
something
different.
Mm-hmm.
Or
sell is he a slob? Is it destruction because of
the house? No.
She says financially they can't hire somebody else.
Okay, they can't keep it up.
He can't stay organized to do it, and he has some back issues.
But stop and think about it. So the reality is you can't. You cannot afford to do it.
Right.
And physically he cannot do it. So what do you get? Your choice is I will be depressed and need counseling. Or I'll deal with that.
Move into an apartment.
Move into a mobile home.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Or a condo where a lot of the association.
Did you ever live in a mobile home?
Of course I did. For 11 years.
No, I didn't.
11 years.
My grandparents
did. I know it's always the down, you know, the seedy side of town.
Mm-hmm.
man, those things are pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
Especially nowadays
really
compared
nice
to what they
now
used to be.
Drop dead gorgeous with like 30, 40 grand, which is nothing.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
You know, you're 60. You know, yep. The thing will only last 20 years. So what? You're going to be pretty much dead by then. Moving to mobile home.
Yeah.
If it cuts down the maintenance, it cuts
Mark
down
Mark Garger Show, let me encourage you. Let you know you're going to die. You know, so it cuts down the expenses. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Good grief. Then you have to quit fixing things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so deal with it. Well, I don't want to. We like our house. See, there again, people get locked in. They mm-hmm. don't want to change, but they want the circumstances mm-hmm. to change.
You have to do something.
You have to do something. If you cannot afford it. Well, we have this car and I can't afford. It's like I got an airplane. It flies me around, okay, to my conferences. If I get to the point where I can't afford to put gas or jet fuel in the airplane, mm-hmm. I need to sell the airplane mm-hmm. and start flying commercial again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. I'm not going to go to a counselor and start crying. You know, my plane needs repair and everything else. And, you know, if my wife was more of a mechanic, she could fix the thing. But she doesn't want to go to mechanic school. And we can't afford to fix these things ourselves. You know. You know what? How about you sell the airplane and fly commercial? I mean, there's always mm-hmm. ways of dealing with things.
Well,
if you can no longer afford to maintain a home, get a different home.
If she's going to a counselor, shouldn't the counselor be helping her with this perspective and this prioritizing and sorting
depends
out?
Depends on the counselor. Who knows what they're doing? Some counselors are great. Some are mm-hmm. absolute nimrods.
Mm-hmm.
They just sit there and listen to you.
I'd be curious if she's trying to put this all on him.
No, she wants her circumstances to change. She's upset because her life stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, she got a long list. My life right. stinks. And what she wants is not how to change and overcome. She wants him to change.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what's the next one?
She's overwhelmed because she's lost the perspective on how to prioritize and sort things out. She's seeing a counselor. He makes the effort to get his act together, which always starts with getting organized, in quotation marks, and getting the calendar in order, but he never seems to progress past that point. So you
okay.
can write down the calendar,
so get comfortable
but doesn't
with that.
Do it.
Get comfortable with that. Here's a guy who doesn't get organized. Sounds like me.
And me.
Well, if
sounds
she
like
helps
Ross.
Him, makes a list, helps him do all of that. Maybe she wants him to do it on his own,
nobody's
but maybe
more
she needs to do it.
You know, I'm also disorganized. I hire people to organize me,
yes,
and I'm still
do.
Disorganized.
Yes, you are.
I hire people to organize my calendar, and then I never look at the calendar.
Really?
I know this.
Have you noticed that?
We do this for you quite often.
Notice. You can't do that today. You have to be here today. Oh, really?
So my wife can be depressed about that, or yeah. she just realize, look, he's just not very organized. You right. deal with it. You do the best you can. Yeah.
It's easier when you work
sweetheart,
for somebody than
you need
than
to learn to be happy
someone,
in
though.
The circumstances that you've got. And she starts out complaining that is DHD, ABCD, EFG.
Yep.
What's that got to do with any of the other things? It has nothing to do with the other things. So I don't know. I think you just need to be happy. Do what you can do. Trust God to do what you can do. Make the adjustments to do so that your life can be happy. If you need your circumstances to be a certain way before you be happy, you'll always mm-hmm. be a victim. Keep that in mind. All right, God bless you guys. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.